This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR. Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. in the morning. Sports bettors want to get in on the original sports betting action. Watch and wager on horse races from across the country. The Club Hawthorne app. Great odds in every race. Betting in just a few easy clicks and live streamed races. Download the app or bet online at clubhawthorne.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Thank you, Len Casper. And thank you, Eddie Olchek. The great Edzo was awesome on begging people to go get their colonoscopies.
I heard that.
I booked mine April 20th.
Couples colonoscopy
yeah. Part two.
It's like your third one this year, isn't it?
No.
I don't think
it's my first one in 6 years.
Okay, yeah, it's well, time
and
to go.
I was supposed to take it after five, and they canceled me because of the pandemic.
COVID.
Yeah. So Mindy and I will be doing the prep together, and that's what couples do.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, you guys are close. You're married.
The couples colonoscopy.
Yeah, dim the lights.
Yes.
Got to have preparations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
H.
So. H, yeah.
Yeah.
I've tweeted this poll question.
You like that, Yerk?
Yeah, it's good. I use it under the eyes sometimes when I get a little puffy.
Yeah.
Really works well.
Yeah.
Makes me look like I'm 52 instead of 53.
Better than Botox.
What sports icon has done more to give back to society? Twitter only allows four choices. If your choice isn't listed, please tweet it at me. Here's your choices. LeBron, Magic, Tiger, Muhammad Ali. Got 3,800 votes so far.
I would vote, I think, LeBron. It's tough, man. I guess LeBron.
I mean, who is the most philanthropic? I'd go off the board.
There's one name I'm thinking of, too, that if I were to go off the board, it might not come close to competing with those guys because he didn't really necessarily have the bankroll.
Messi?
No. Warrick Dunn. Remember all the good stuff Warrick Dunn
did? Amazing. Yeah. Habitat for Humanity.
Unbelievable if you look at what he's done over the course of his life, his professional career and his life to give back. I mean,
I was going to say J.J. Watt with J.J. Money, that's money that he raised.
A lot of people tweeted that at me.
The Houston.
That's a great call.
Hurricane relief thing, man.
Great
He just wanted to raise like $300,000. He ended up raising $20-some-odd million.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Like names like that.
How can you keep that quiet, Yerk, as an athlete? Because you know that your agent and your PR people.
Oh yeah, that's what they want to do.
How do you keep it quiet? Because I wouldn't want anyone to know until I'm at the end.
Right. It's hard because you know their job is to put you in a positive light. So you know whenever you're doing philanthropic work, they want to put you in a positive light. Those guys that don't have the big PR machines, they're the ones that can do it quietly and anonymously and behind the scenes and just work to get things done because that's the way they want to do it.
Yeah. You know, you guys were talking about Jalen Rose earlier, and Jalen was here briefly. I covered the Bulls when Jalen was here. Jalen, yeah, and Jalen gave back a lot, you know, and I don't know what he still does, but I mean, Jalen really, as a player, considering the way he was brought up and the way he grew up, I mean, like, he really did give back a lot, and he was pretty passionate about doing stuff with kids, and I remember he was going to play Santa one year, like, right before Christmas at either a children's hospital or somewhere for less fortunate children, like, and he refused to let the Bulls send Bill Smith, who was the team photographer, you know, to take pictures. Like, he didn't want it so that I'm not doing this so that you can use it as a publicity stunt. Look at Jalen Rose doing this. Like, Jalen was doing it because he wanted to.
And sometimes
I always like that.
The team,
yeah.
Sometimes the team set it up,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And then the team wants it because they want it looked in a positive light.
Yeah,
they want, look what our guys are doing,
right?
As members of this organization. So
I always like that about you.
And it's hard, you know. You go in there and you got to smile and you got to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
We built playgrounds.
Yeah,
you know, when I was in Jacksonville, we all showed up at a park. The guys that knew what the hell they were doing really were building it.
Yeah.
We were just kind of holding stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But look,
you're helping.
We built a playground. No, they built the playground. We were just kind of there.
You were there lending us support.
I don't know how the hell, you know, send me over a ratchet. What? I don't know what the hell ratchet is. I go, if we need somebody to put some, pledge on this thing,
I can
put a nice little chamois on it.
Yeah.
I go,
put a little coat of lacquer on it.
My extent of knowledge after
that's your cup.
That's good.
I know.
Yeah, right now the poll results, 40% LeBron.
Yeah.
34% Ali, 14% Magic, 12% Tiger Woods.
We went over some of the stuff LeBron has done. Oh, amazing.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
I mean, yeah.
But when you Vicky McHenry had a great point. She says a toss between Ali and Magic. She said, however, the systemic racism that is still rampant in society, I have to say what Magic did getting HIV at the time he did was revolutionary. A heterosexual iconic athlete getting HIV and being open about his battle with it.
You never even hear about it anymore.
No.
You know,
HIV like, AIDS?
No, right. I mean, but like with Magic. I mean, you know, I mean, and granted, when you when you've got means, I guess you get excellent medicine and excellent treatment and stuff like that. But, you know, back then it always seemed like the, it was a death sentence, wasn't it?
Right.
I mean, remember that?
When he got it, everyone thought he'll be dead in 2 years.
And it's 30 years later, guys.
It was just amazing for him to be back on the floor after that
diagnosis. Yeah, no
kidding. Remember that guys didn't want to play with him.
No. That's true.
You had no idea what
that was. Didn't want to play with him.
Didn't know what it was.
Did Freddie Mercury die before or after?
That's a good question.
See, that's your question. The people were dying, and they died. I think he died before.
I'm guessing, but my guess would be before. Like,
so everybody did think it was a death knell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there were all the protests about, hey, let's really dive into the research on this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then people don't know. Like, I believe there was a passing of a prominent individual in the New York New York area. And he donated everything for the research.
So this is interesting,
know, to
guys.
To kind of spearhead it and to fund it, because without the funding, nothing was going to happen.
Right.
So Magic Johnson announced on November 7th, 1991, that he was positive.
30 years ago.
Mercury died November 24th, 1991.
Wow. How about that?
Wow. It's close.
Yeah. That's right there.
It's like 2.5 weeks apart.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks.
We also need you to be the independent arbiter of something.
Okay.
So Dan.
And Yurko, bah, 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 bah.
So Danny brought up the new sandwich from Arby's, the Meat Mountain Sandwich. Have you seen it?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Looks
Carm, if you
in
can
the
just
picture
take a look
than it does in real life.
Wow, that's
it,
always
yeah.
the case. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. It's got all that.
Arby's, we have the meat.
So Danny wants us to try it on the show, and I said, yeah, hard pass. I don't eat that stuff.
I've got an Arby's right by me, guys.
Hoodie was firing on me. Be a man for just the show. I said, all right, I'll taste it, but Danny has to.
Mm.
Danny's bringing this
topic. Well, Danny's got the idea.
He says he won't eat it. He'll get it for us, but he won't eat it.
York, I just want to work with guys.
That's all.
Just guys.
Yeah, gentlemen.
I got to be honest. I'd be a little queasy about eating that, too. I'm not going to lie.
No one's asking. It's just a taste to see what it tastes like.
Do you have to eat the whole sandwich? Or can I have like...
I'm not trying
to eat the whole
sandwich.
No, you can have a quarter of the sandwich.
Couple bites?
Yeah, just to see what it tastes like.
Well, if Danny brought it up, I mean, he should stick with his guys.
If I go to Arby's tomorrow morning before I come into the show, and it's on the corner of 41 and 30, it's not that far from me, but they have to be open.
Right.
You know, if they don't open until 10 o'clock, I can't do anything.
Danny says they open at 8 a.m. They got breakfast.
That's usually when I venture in. 8 a.m. is when I start the... I embark upon my trip.
Do they have served breakfast there?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. I don't ever see commercials for Arby's breakfast.
Right, I don't either.
Like, you know, everybody else does, it seems like.
Burger King, you can get a Whopper at 7 in the morning.
Sure.
Yeah.
The best fast food breakfast sandwich is, and I don't eat it often, but I do eat it every once in a while. I probably haven't had it like in 2 years, but the Chick-fil-A, the chicken biscuit is the best breakfast sandwich out
there. Chicken biscuit with egg on it?
You can get it with or without an egg, yeah. But just like they make the biscuits actually in the restaurants all the more. You know, that they make the biscuits in the morning and then they put that little fried chicken on there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's the best.
I keep trying it, but the doors are locked every time I go in.
Are they?
Yeah, on Sundays. Yeah, they're just never open. I don't know why.
Funny guy.
I can't figure that out. I cannot. Mellor, we got to take care of the Aston Villa thing tomorrow.
Aston Villa?
Is it Villa?
Yes. Okay.
Aston Villa, yeah. They banned their players from playing fantasy soccer, so we got to get into that.
I love the Chick-fil-A that there's a restaurant in Atlanta's stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, the Falcons play on Sunday.
And it's not they don't make an exception for that, right?
It's closed.
It's
dark.
Yeah. How about that?
Wait. Day of a Falcons game, they still keep it closed?
You're taking up space there, but they do not open that. It's
The MyPillow guy have a stand next door?
He might. I don't know.
Did you guys happen to see the Olivier Giroud goal yesterday? Chelsea versus Atletico Madrid?
Bicycle. I did not.
Beautiful bicycle kick.
It was nice.
Beautiful goal
right
of the
corner.
Day.
Yeah,
in the UEFA Champions League, it was the goal of the day.
Yeah.
Peacock? What can I find?
No. I believe you find that CBS. On CBS now.
Oh, CBS.
CBS.
Champions League has moved to CBS?
Yeah, UEFA Champions League is online. On CBS. It used to be on Fox for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So on DirecTV, it's channel 221.
Any soccer to gamble on this afternoon?
Real Madrid plays Atalanta in Italy today.
Who do I play?
I
call it Atlanta.
Well, listen, Real Madrid is missing 9 players. They've only got 11 healthy players. There will be goals scored.
Over?
Because Atalanta loves to give up the goals.
So score. The over? Yeah. So play the over.
I'd play the over. If I was going to play anything,
what
I'd
is
play
it, 3.5?
It could be 3.5. I don't know. You'd have to ask the big guy over there. But a lot of talent on both sides.
Miller, you're the big guy. You're the big guy, Miller.
Miller is the big guy.
He's pointing at you, bud.
I've got
he's a big soccer fan. I know that.
I've got my eye on Man City today.
Right. He's got his eyes on Man City.
They're pounding everybody.
And Man City's destroying everybody.
They've won 18 straight games.
Yeah. Dude, 18 straight.
They haven't drawn either. In soccer, that's impressive.
They got talent on the bench, Carm.
Wow.
They've got talent on the bench that would be playing anywhere. But because of what they have, they can't get in.
That's big time. Yeah. All right.
All right, count us in. I'm going to play the over.
Okay.
That's it. That's the big guy, Gordon Jump from WKRP over there. That's
exactly.
The big guy.
Buddy, I'll see you in the...
Mr. Carlson.
I'll see... Hey, Mr. Carlson, I'll see you in the morning.
See you, boys.
All right, we're out of here. Carmen, York are next. Have a great day. Be safe. See ya.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Well, it hasn't even been 24 hours yet. It's getting close, but I think we were all shook by the news of the day yesterday. We were off the air already for about an hour and a half. But when I saw somebody actually texted me, and then I immediately went on to the social media and the internet to see the pictures, the first pictures of that car crash in Southern California, a single accident car crash that Tiger Woods was involved in. And man, oh man, I mean, at that point, you already knew, okay, he's alive. They're doing surgery on his legs. They're not life-threatening. He's hurt badly. But it's not life-threatening. You go, oh, man, that's good. But you look at those pictures and you go, wow. He is, even with all the great technology in these automobiles today, everything worked as it should have. And it's a good thing because it is kind of a miracle that somebody can get out and be okay. Yes, major injuries, but nothing life-threatening. When you see the wreckage in just what happened to that car sliding down that embankment, down that hill, very scary stuff. But, it's a weird conversation to have about Tiger right now, right? Because you almost feel guilty a little when you start running through the thoughts run through your head, man, can Tiger ever play again? Like, how important is that really? I mean, the poor guy, everything he's gone through physically in his life, and I know Tiger's not the perfect human being, like, I get it, but like everything that he's gone through physically in his life, to have to do this again now, who knows how badly his back maybe was re-injured in this accident, but just the injuries to his legs and his foot and ankle, it's devastating. And here I am like, man, is Tiger never going to play again? I hate that those thoughts enter my mind, but like, that's what I know about Tiger. I know Tiger, the golfer that has thoroughly entertained me for 20 years. And I like watching him play golf. And I hate to think that way, but you almost can't help it. Like, is Tiger ever going to be able to play competitively again?
You asked the question, who's the perfect human being? Nobody.
That's very true.
There are no perfect human beings.
Merkin's close, but
all those thoughts and everything just fall to the wayside right away. And all you worry about is the health of the individual.
Yeah.
The health of the individual. That's all you care about in this situation. I don't know what happened, how it happened, when it happened. Any and all results come back at a later date for discussions to be happening at a later date. Okay? I'm not going to speculate on what did, didn't, why, how, when. You know, they said he was driving fast. They know that already, okay? Right. He was speeding. He was trying to get someplace. He probably shouldn't have been speeding in a section of road that's very dangerous.
Right. Okay? Downhill. Yeah.
But he was.
Yeah.
And he did. And now you got it in the situation that he's in now. So what can I do as a guy that loves sports, that loves golf? I'm going to Pinehurst again for the third time.
Jealous.
In 18 months, Carm. God. I'm going to play golf.
You're taking a permanent residency at Pinehurst over
here.
I might
get a place down there, Carm.
Geez.
I mean, the fact that we can work, you know, via these Comrexes.
That's true.
What would stop me from living in North Carolina and still reporting here in Chicago?
Especially in the winter.
You understand what I'm saying?
Good call.
You know, be down there in NASCAR country, too, covering all the action that's happening down there. I think the point is, You worry about the individual. You worry about Tiger Woods, the person. You worry about him as the family man. You worry about him getting back up on his feet.
Yeah,
any type of accident like this, you cheer for him. You hope he's going to be able to come back. He's got a family. He's got children. Nobody wants to see anybody get lost in any type of accident. So I'm hoping he gets back on his feet.
Wow.
I'm hoping, and his goal should be to get back out on the golf course.
Competitively.
Absolutely. That's the goal. Now, if you fall short of that goal, that's fine. But that should be the goal, is to get back out on that golf course, get healthy. You've got to have that out there. You know, if you got to reach for the stars, you got to settle for the moon. It's okay.
He's a pretty determined guy, yes. To say the least. So maybe you're right, Yerk. Maybe it just as when the dust settles, like the next challenge in his life is, hey, I can prove to everybody that I'll still play competitive golf. We were looking forward to the next, in 5 years from now, 4 years from now, Tiger's going to be eligible for the senior tour.
Yes.
And we kept talking about the joys of he and Phil kind of battling it out and how much added interest and revenue that would probably bring to the senior tour. And who knows if who knows if all that's going to even be possible because of all the injuries that the guy sustained. Somebody wrote an article at CBS Sports, wrote that, he's 45, but that body physically, that's a 60-year-old body. The punishment that he's taken, all the surgeries, all the issues with his back, it's crazy.
You know what the worst time is when you're an athlete?
Idle time? Is that what you always say?
When you're hurt. When you're injured, people look right through you.
Right.
When you can't help, you can't participate, you can't entertain, people look right through you like you're not even there.
Mm.
And he's going to have to deal with a little bit of that, too. You know, I hope his guys or guys that, love him will be there for him and they'll, cheer him on, maybe get there with him, maybe take those walks that are going to be need to made once he gets back on his feet. Yeah, you want to be there for him. But, these guys also got to go about their business and doing what they do. And that's golf and travel the country.
Well, that's going to be
and do what they do.
It's going to be a big talking point at the WGC in Florida. They have to, because of COVID, they've moved the event from Mexico to Florida. They are playing the WGC this weekend. In fact, me and Yerk and Randy Merkin, who each week does the Golf Club podcast on the great ESPN Chicago app, one of those fantastic original podcasts that you can catch up on. That's why you need the ESPN Chicago app for all the podcasts and all the shows. We talked about it today. We talked about Tiger a little bit. When will that be up, Merk? Will that be on the podcast page later this afternoon?
It should be up soon, JR. I think put it up already.
Oh, beautiful. So. All right. So you can go ahead and download that podcast. We talk a little bit about Tiger and we talk about this weekend. But that's going to dominate the conversation this weekend, really, isn't it,
at
the golf tournament?
And I was watching Golf Channel, a lot of their coverage yesterday and last night. Rich Lerner did a really good job of posting, and he was telling a story that he was talking to Rory McIlroy, and Rory asked Tiger – he said, why don't you come out to dinner with me and my wife?
I saw this. It was in the CBS Sports piece that I read. Same thing. He might have seen Rich Lerner talk about it.
Okay.
Go ahead, tell him.
Right. And Tiger was like, I just can't. He's like, I go out. I can't be myself. I've got to be on guard. And I mean, this is Rory McIlroy, who's one of the most recognizable golfers in the world, maybe top five, right?
Yes.
And he couldn't even be recognized. And I'm going to give you – and Tiger couldn't go out because he was afraid to be recognized. And I totally understand – I'm going to give you an example of Rory not being recognized. When they were here 2 years ago at Conway Farms, I found out they were staying at the Westin in Wheeling. Okay? So myself, I took my family to dinner that night at Sarnello's, which is the restaurant inside the Westin. And who's sitting at the bar having dinner by himself?
Come on.
Rory McIlroy.
Are you serious?
So no one recognized him. He was just sitting there eating dinner by himself. And I wanted to go up and have him take a picture with Brett, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to bug the guy because...
Like, Tiger can never go sit at a bar and just have dinner by himself.
And in the corner is Charles Schwartzel and his family are having dinner.
You talk about nobody noticing.
Right. Okay,
I not have noticed Charles Schwartzel. Okay. I mean, Merck did.
Is he the guy that runs the investment firm?
That's Charles Schwab.
Oh.
I mean, and I know that quote you're referring to was from a couple of years ago, and where Rory said, you don't realize the kind of life that the guy lives. I mean, he can't go out to dinner.
Right.
He can't do it. And then Rory went on to say... You know, if I had the choice here, it's like a would you rather on Waddle and Sylvie. All the 14 majors and the, what does he have, 80 wins, right? Tied for the most
15
ever?
15 majors.
15 majors, I'm sorry, the Masters. 15 majors and the 80 wins.
83.
Rory said something to the effect, I'll take like 9 majors and 40 wins, but still be able to live my life. Mm-hmm. Like, this is Rory McIlroy who said that. You know, I mean, that could, you don't realize that. And I think some of the documentary kind of showed us that a little bit.
Well, I mean, here's the crazy thing. He was getting hammered up here in 2012 when the Ryder Cup was at Medina.
Rory, yeah.
Rory's out getting hammered, barely made his tee time the next morning.
He was almost late.
Still found a way to win his match.
Tiger Woods, it's the same. We saw it in The Last Dance. Remember when Michael Jordan was sitting in the hotel room and wouldn't leave because he couldn't leave.
Can't go out.
And do anything. You know, it becomes a mob scene. Tiger Woods is at that level.
Yes, he is.
And so I can understand that, you know.
Now, is it all worth it, you think, like at the end of the day for Tiger?
We're going to see what, you know, there's still a lot of investigation to go with this crash. And I think we're all like hoping, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like my mind immediately went to one car crash. That's not a good sign, right?
No, it never.
And obviously
but
we don't have it.
I don't want you to know where my mind went.
The good news is.
I think we all kind of went there.
I went there.
But the good news was that the initial reports were that there were no signs of impairment whatsoever.
Correct.
That the first officer on the scene who was just trying to keep him calm while the paramedics got there was saying that he was lucid, that he knew exactly what was going on. He knew that he was in serious trouble, that he was badly hurt, and they didn't even draw blood at the hospital. So what other investigating could they do at this point? If they weren't drawing, well, you can't draw his blood today.
That's a valid point, Carm.
The LA Sheriff's Department said there was not one suspicion of impairment.
Right.
And that so much so that there was no blood draw.
Right. Well, that wasn't my first thought.
When I heard there was
a single car crash.
Oh, you know, no.
Yes, that's the first thing I said.
What I'm guessing
is. I thought we had a Junior Seau situation.
I hope not. What I'm thinking is he is rushing. And TMZ was doing some reporting on this that sounds like he could have been rushing because he was late.
Yeah.
Getting to where he had to be. Now,
he was doing a photo shoot with Drew Brees and
Justin Herbert. Two days ago. It was all over David Spade's Instagram account. I thought, I'm like, wow, look at David Spade's playing golf. Now, Tiger can't golf right now. He can't play. But he was out on the golf course with
Spade.
Instruction,
yes.
And they're doing a golf channel.
And Dwayne Wade.
Yep. They're doing a golf channel special. And so 2 days ago, he's with Dwayne Wade and David Spade. Yesterday, he was supposed to be on the course with, like Yurko said, with Justin Herbert and Drew Brees. And it sounds like he could have been rushing to get there because he was running late. And, man, you get in some of those that terrain in that part of the country, and you lose control a little bit, and it can be, it's hasta la vista. So Danny looks like he wants to say something.
I heard Merkin's story about going to the Westin and seeing Rory McIlroy. I can't get over the fact I need to know whether or not he planned that dinner just to stalk golfers.
Yes, he did.
I thought that a little. I'm like, Merk,
no, I did.
Was that calculated?
Yes, absolutely.
He told you he wanted.
Yeah, I said to the family, we're going to Sarnello's tonight because I know where the golfers are staying. And
the kids are like, but Dad, we never go out to
but
dinner.
But Dad, we don't like Sarnello's.
Yeah, we've never been out to dinner with you, Dad.
Rory was having dinner with his agent, maybe, at the bar. And then it was either, I think it was Schwartzel who was having dinner in the corner booth right before you go into the hotel with his family. And
is Sarnello's pretty good?
Sarnello's is great.
Yeah, is it? Okay,
yeah, it's a lettuce restaurant. But it's really good.
That's good.
So then we walked around the lobby afterwards. I saw a couple other golfers. I wasn't sure who exactly they were.
We're going to go to Sarnello's for dinner, kids. But, Dad, we never go out to dinner.
Never taken us out before,
Shut
Dad.
Up. We're going out tonight. We're going to see Rory McIlroy.
Let's go over and talk to Rory.
All right, 312-332-3776. You got a thought on Tiger. We all just hope that, Tiger can get back healthy. But do you think this would be the end of his competitive golfing career? Can Tiger, he's the ultimate I'll show you kind of athlete. I mean, could he come back and still play and compete again? What was going through your mind yesterday when you heard the news? 312-332-3776. We'll play Tiger talking about his future just a couple of days ago. I was watching the golf Sunday when he was being interviewed by Jim Nantz talking about another back surgery and when he might get back. We'll play that for you when we come back next.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Watching a little bit of the final round of the golf on Sunday, the tournament that Max Homa would go on to win, the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. Tiger hosting that tournament to benefit his foundation. So he was talking late in the round a little bit with Jim Nantz on CBS. Meller, I think something's wrong with my screen. It's frozen here. The mouse isn't working.
No.
So Meller's going to play it for me. This is Tiger and Jim Nantz, you know, and obviously talking about Tiger's health. This is a couple days before the accident, about another back surgery, a fifth one, and what the road to recovery has been like, and could he possibly be at Augusta in 6 or 7 weeks? This was Tiger on Sunday.
Everybody wants to know how you're feeling, what you're doing since you've come off your fifth back operation. You feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled so that we'll see if the annulus is scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little bit more.
So as far as golf, what have you done since the surgery? Anything?
I have lengthened my putter.
Okay, right. Starts with that.
You know, I don't have to bend over as far. No, I've gone to the same length as my sand wedge.
So,
because I do a lot of putting drills. You know, blading, hitting the equator with my sand wedge, and I figured, well, if I do a lot with that, why just lengthen my putter to the same length? So I did, and it helped.
So Tiger, 7 weeks from today, final round of the Masters. You going to be there?
God, I hope so. I got to get there first.
You feel like
a lot of it's based on, you know, my surgeons and my doctors and my therapists, and making sure that I do it correctly. And this is the only back I got, so I don't have much more wiggle room left there.
But the plan would be maybe to get one tournament in before that, I guess?
I don't know what the plan is. The plan is right now is just to go ahead and get the MRI and see if the annulus is sealed. If it's scarred over, then we can start progressing.
Well, we miss you, Tiger. I can tell you that on behalf of everyone that's passionate about this game. Just congratulations on this event, your foundation, and we hope to see you back soon.
You got it.
Yeah. Thanks, Tiger.
Only back I got. And not much more wiggle room left. You know, that's pre this nasty-looking accident that happened just yesterday. And, of course, now you won't be playing in the Masters, and you won't be playing golf competitively for quite some time. The injury sounded pretty severe. I mean, his doctor, the chief medical surgeon, however they determine it, at that hospital in which the trauma center in which the surgeries were performed yesterday, didn't release a statement on the website and talked about the severity of the injuries, especially the right leg. I don't think they mentioned anything about the left leg, even though a lot of the reports said there were injuries to both legs. Maybe we'll still get some stuff cleared up, and that's not the case. But specifically, the chief surgeon, the chief doctor at the hospital out there was talking about the compound fractures where the tibia and the fibula, right? The two bottom
fibula.
Ones. Fibula.
Tibia and
sir.
The fibula.
Tibia and fibula, thank you, were piercing through the skin, and that there was also trauma to the foot and ankle, and there was soft tissue and muscular damage that was done. I mean,
you're slicing through stuff at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a you know, that's just how serious this all was.
You start breaking, you know, through skin, it's like a hot knife going through butter, kid.
Jeez.
You're just causing damage, you know, and some of that damage is okay, but if you're slicing tendons and such like that, then that's where your dilemmas come in.
Just
and tendon,
brutal.
Remember tendon. Not a lot of blood travels through the tendon. That's why that's very difficult to heal.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's fibrous tissue.
Are tendons and ligaments, they're different, right?
No, ligaments are different. Tendons and ligaments are much
different. Do tendons heal slower?
Tendons, like at the bottom of your quadriceps, you got a femoral tendon there.
Right.
It goes muscle into a fibrous tissue into that tendon, right? So it's transitioning into being that lock piece that holds it to the bone.
Got it.
And doesn't allow
it
to leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
On your semitendinosus, your hamstring tendon, as it goes up into your hip, that's anchored on your hip.
That's what
there.
You tore?
I tore that. Yeah, not fun. God. But either way, a ligament's like your MCL, ACL, your ulnar ligament in here. They're like at the joints.
They're like rubber bands, kind of?
On the other side, just to kind of give you a little bit of stability.
Oh, my goodness. Elmhurst, Steve's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. One of the things that you said a little bit earlier was about feeling a little bit guilty about, you know, worrying about if he's going to be able to play golf again. I don't think that's something that you should feel at all guilty about. I'll bet, number one, I think it's actually showing concern because you know how much this game means to him and how hard he's worked to remain able to compete in the game. So I think that's showing, you know, really thoughtful concern. And then secondly, I'll bet when he woke up from, you know, the anesthesia, the first thing he asked his doctors is, how is this going to affect me? Am I going to be able to return to play?
Yeah. No, I'm sure you're right about that, Steve. I bet you it was pretty early on in the conversation. I mean, look, that's what the guy does. I mean, you know, so I hate the movie, but it's like the scene in, what's the one with Kevin Costner where he's the pitcher at the end of his career?
For the love of the game.
It's terrible. But remember, he slices.
You don't like that movie?
It's awful. He slices the hand. Doesn't he slice his hand open? He's working in his barn.
Yes.
And all he says is, you got to find me my team doctor, the trainer. That's all that matters. Can I ever pitch again? I mean, yeah, a competitive professional athlete like that. And, you know, I'm sure his mind very quickly went to, what the hell is this going to do? Like, I'm trying to come back from another surgery, and I still want to play competitive golf for a lot of years. Like, how does this throw a wrinkle in all that? I'm sure that was going through his mind. I don't know how it wouldn't be. But, you know, like, hey, I guess the last thought I had yesterday about all this, and I was watching a lot, you know, you're reading a lot, you're watching a bunch of the coverage. It's like, it could have been so much worse.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
Could have been dead.
Yeah. It could have honestly been so much worse.
Would have been if he was dead, yes.
It sucks because I do love watching the guy play golf.
So anything short of death is like, hey, okay, here we are. Okay, we're all right. And it seems to be well short of this, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he'll recover. Take time. Takes time. How far he'll recover, we'll have to find out.
Yes.
And, like, will he ever play competitively again?
I don't know.
When you're a world-class golfer, I mean, you can't have too many things wrong with you when you're a world-class golfer. Now, from his lower back down to,
about all the issues.
There, major problem.
ACL.
And did he hurt his back again?
Broken.
Yeah, right. That's exactly.
We're concentrating on the stuff that we know, but what about his back?
He's talking about, they need an MRI to find out if the what is the thing? I didn't recognize that term that he said. What does he say? He said it twice. They have to do the MRI to see if the annulus is scarred over.
Scarred tissue?
Yeah.
Whatever they put in there to stabilize the back, maybe it's got a scar over.
Yeah.
Become part of his back.
Right. He's talking about, like, they've got to do an MRI to see if that's the case so that he can ramp up his activity. Like, they didn't even know. I mean, like, who knows what happened to his back in that thing yesterday? So you're right, from his back on down, the issues he's had with his legs.
I mean, you know, if you look across sports, the most recent incident you have to draw upon with a compound fracture is Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
Now, he obviously had a lot of infections, and so it's different.
But he's back in the NFL. Well,
Our guy Robert Livingston, too? Remember the
Sean Livingston.
Sean Livingston.
That was now, that wasn't a broken bone. That was his knee. But, yeah, that was.
But Alex Smith, it took two full years.
Right. Tiger will be 47.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and in addition, like you said, like, we don't even know how his back's going to react.
Yeah. If he comes back and wins again at some point, my God, I mean, Tiger's going to be.
Dude, if he comes back. I'm serious. Like, the way I looked at it yesterday is if he comes back and even gets to play,
it'd be amazing.
Like, I would be. Yeah.
At 45, it kind of seems like it'd be amazing.
Even if he hit a drive on the first hole at the Masters.
Yeah, right. Just, can he do that? Can he do, like, in that you think he would be able to? Can he do what Jack and Arnie used to do and what Gary Player do when they kick off the Masters every year? Just hit that ceremonial first drive. I mean, at his age and everything that his body has gone through, it seems like it'd be stunning if he were able to come back competitively. All right, we can take a few more calls when we come back. Also, we'll talk about the NBA selections, the NBA All-Star selections yesterday. Happy that Zach made it. Still some big snubs. Peter King in 15 minutes to talk NFL with us. So don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Make sure you watch the show on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Mario's in South Beach with Carmen and Yurko. What up, Mario?
Hi, you guys. How you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Great. Look, just to simplify it, Yurko will forget more than I'll ever remember regarding physiology.
Yes.
But the way I remembered it concerning ligaments and tendons, ligament is bone to bone, and tendon is an extension of muscle to bone.
Yep. That sounds right. 100%. There you go, Mario. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, 100%. He's got it perfect right there.
Well, Mario, it sounds like you know a thing or two.
Bone to bone with the ligament, Carm.
Our buddy Jeff is a biochemist. He knows what Tiger was talking about with his back, too. What up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's happening?
Doing wonderful. Hey, John, how are the knees doing, by the way?
Oh, boy, I wish they were better, but they're doing good.
Well, that 3-chi helps.
It doesn't hurt. The gummies. I found a way to go ahead and, you know, take care of some of the discomfort and the pain.
The tinctures and oils.
Yeah, that's 3-chi.
Well, hey, John, I got a new product I want to send you, so should I send it to the studio? Or
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Just to expand on what the other caller said about the tendons and the ligaments, part of the reason it takes such a long time for tendons and ligaments to heal is because they're collagenic fibrous tissue, which takes a longer time to recreate in the body than normal cell tissues. So the blood supply is important as far as recovery goes, but it has to actually form more collagen in there to rebuild the structure of it. And what tendons and ligaments do is they're not stretchy. They're made to stabilize. So it's a more stringent attachment than it would be for like a muscle.
Got it.
You get that now?
Yes. I think I've got it.
There
but blood
go.
Flow sounds like it's important, and you got to build collagen, and you need blood
it's
flow.
Fibrous.
There's some breaking news out of White Sox camp. I was seeing Merkin's brother, Scott Merkin, who covers the team for MLB.com. Jose Abreu update from Rick Hahn. In compliance with MLB intake protocols, Jose Abreu will remain away from the club for the next several days due to a positive COVID test. More from Rick. Jose, who's completely asymptomatic, believes he contracted a mild case of the disease in January, which is reinforced by the presence of COVID antibodies and additional testing. Other than being frustrated, Jose feels great like the rest of us, according to Rick. And finally, this from Rakan Abreu, is looking forward to when he rejoins the club in the not-too-distant future. Your reigning American League MVP.
Wait a minute. So he has it now? He's got the antibodies.
He's tested positive.
He's tested positive, yes. But Jose thinks he got it a mild case of it back in January. I don't know how he would test positive if he got a mild case of it back in January. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I really don't. I have no idea. But that's the latest. He can't be with the team right
listen,
now.
It could be. He could be, as Rick just said, feeling fine. Yeah. But if he did have, you know, maybe he had some symptoms in January and his viral load is still at the point where he's testing positive.
Right.
And so he feels okay.
He feels fine. He's got the antibodies, but he still triggered a positive test. So as they follow protocols, he will continue to be away from the team. So there's a little nugget from White Sox camp. Doesn't sound like a big deal. Congratulations to Zach LaVine for making the All-Star team. Well deserved. Still some pretty big snubs in both conferences. I'm telling you, we talked about this. That guy who wrote the article for NBC Sports Chicago last week, I mean, there are dozens and dozens of players who are All-Star worthy this year. It's just the nature of the game being played faster and offensive outputs being higher and higher. I know it's, you could take shots at the defense too if you like. Maybe the defense isn't as good. I think it's more of a product of teams play fast with lots of possessions. They shoot lots of threes, and everybody can shoot threes. And most players, their skill set is just, they come into this league more ready to score these days. So there, you knew there were going to be a bunch of very deserving snubs. The biggest seemed to be from all the players, Devin Booker. They took his teammate, Chris Paul, instead. I got to say, I was maybe a little bit surprised at
stunned?
That.
Were you stunned?
I don't know about stunned. I mean, Chris Paul is like, look, Chris Paul can still play. Look what he did in OKC last year. Look at how much better that team functions this year with Chris Paul running things, you know. And Devin Booker's numbers are down slightly, especially his assist numbers, because of the arrival of Chris Paul. Who do I think is better on that team? I still think Devin Booker's their best player. And they're 10 games above 500 playing extremely well. That seemed to be the biggest one. Domantas Sabonis, who's playing great in Indiana, has probably a pretty legitimate case. Like, really? I'm not an All-Star? And then the other one people more just feel bad for is Mike Conley. Mike Conley's playing great in Utah. Mm-hmm. He really is. He's playing great.
They're one of the best teams in the league.
They've got the best record in the league. Do you know Mike Conley? I didn't realize this, has never been an All-Star.
I didn't know that.
The Ringer wrote a story. I think it was The Ringer wrote a story. And that's what I didn't realize until I read it this morning, that he might go down in NBA history as the greatest player to never make an All-Star team. And a lot of that goes kind of back to pace. Like, he played all those years in Memphis where they were the slowest team in the league. You know, they were like the Virginia of the NBA.
Right.
Slow it down. They played big. They played inside a lot. They played, like, inside out with Gasol and Zach Randolph and, Marc Gasol. In their primes, and they were just a different kind of team. Everything was kind of slow, and that affects your counting stats, you know? And, like, maybe that's been to the detriment of a player like Mike Conley, but, like, he's never made an All-Star team.
Yeah, and I've heard...
It's kind of shocking.
I've heard Simmons, The Ringer, theorize that it actually may be better for Conley when all is said and done, if he can actually never make an all-star team and have it, it's like he actually has, you remember him, he may be more memorable if his career ends as the best player to never make an all-star, as opposed to making one and then kind of then just being forgotten in some ways, because he makes one all-star game. And like
he might make it because you know Anthony Davis isn't going to play, obviously. So they're going to have to take a reserve. Although I would think Devin Booker's first up.
Yeah, does Conley really, like, I mean, you've got Mitchell and Gobert from the Jazz already.
You've already got two players.
You get 12 guys. Are you really a snub when 12, you look at the roster and you're like, I don't have any problem with anybody.
He's the third best guy anyway on his own team.
That's what I mean.
Like, as good as he's been, he's the third best guy on his team.
Snub gets tossed around too loosely.
Yeah.
You know, like this year, if Zach would have missed, I think he would have legitimately been, you could
have
been pointed to. That's a clear snub.
Yeah, like,
because he's sixth in the league in scoring.
I think Sabonis is a snub. I think Gordon Hayward you could look at as
Do you take off? That's the only question. Is
I don't know. It's a good question.
I reject your notion of snub unless you're going to tell me who doesn't belong instead.
Julius Randle belongs. Right, Merck?
That's right, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he does. I think
so. Who comes off the East roster if Sabonis needs to be there? And I agree with you. He's really good.
I mean,
but we know the parameters. 12 guys per conference.
Yeah, it's hard. Yep.
If I had asked you when they were coming out of Ohio State, give me Greg Oden.
Oh, please.
Or Mike Conley's career. Stop who are you it. Taking?
Back then,
yeah,
it was Greg Oden every day. Stop it. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a no brainer. Who's the only MLB MVP to never be an All Star? Never won an All Star game. Kirk Gibson, nice job. Never made an all-star game, but was an MVP one year. Kirk Gibson, Merck, nice job. Good on you, buddy. Peter King joins us to talk about franchise tag window being open, where Deshaun Watson might end up, if the Texans indeed are going to have to engage in trade talks at some point, and what does the spring and summer hold for our beloved Chicago Bears. We'll talk all kinds of NFL with Peter King when we come back in 2 minutes.